Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. Here we are. A few days away from Hell in a Cell.
Yes.
Ready to go.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes. I will say I already feel better about the card.
Uh-huh.
Than I did about the previous two.
Battleground and Hell in a Nine of Champions.
Nine of Champions.
There we go. Yes. I got it.
It was so bad you tried to erase it from your mind.
Yes, it did.
Yes. I feel better about this card top to bottom. There aren't, you know...
It's because John Cena's back, right? You just don't feel that card's complete without a John Cena match on it. I understand, Chris.
It's not what I was going for.
I know. But you're so happy. The last one you liked had John Cena in the main event.
I hate you. I hate you so much.
I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah, and I like it because there's no Dolph Ziggler. I don't think I would ever really go that far to say that.
There is no Dolph Ziggler.
There's no Dolph Ziggler in this card at all.
What's wrong with these people?
I know.
He must have just, like, I don't know, peed in somebody's bag or something. Like, he must have done something bad.
So that means he's going to be WWE champion in, like, 5-6 years, right?
Maybe.
Fair enough. Yeah. I don't know what else there is to say because we've talked ad nauseum about how much we really, really need for Ziggler to be on.
Well, okay, give me your honest, genuine, why are you less upset about this card than other cards?
I mean, because it seems like we just have better matches.
But, I mean, honestly...
But, I mean, there's not much different.
Yeah, not, you know, making fun of you. The biggest difference here is that John Cena's on the card.
True. True.
I mean, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, that's a match we've seen before.
Yeah.
CM Punk and Ryback with Paul Heyman, that's a match we've seen before.
Yeah, but they're in Hell in a Cell. That's a little different, you know? It's not going to be your straight up and down match. Like,
yeah.
Like, previous matches. So, I mean, there's a feeling with these types of matches that we're going to get some sort of... definitive, I don't know if ending is the right, if it, you know.
Or Braddock is going to punch somebody.
Or Braddock is going to full on, you know, undercarriage punch again.
Mm-hmm.
Or what? It just feels like, you know, a big turning point is going to happen at this pay-per-view. Because I feel like they need to.
Because it has to happen.
Because
now.
It has to. And, you know...
This is the moment it's time for that payoff.
Yeah, like, because that's really what the Hell in a Cell match is supposed to be. Like, there's no way of any outside interference. You're in. There's no way to get out. So, it's now or never.
Yeah.
Type situation.
Well, that's the thing. And, like, you know, it kind of feels like... Because we've had these three pay-per-views smushed up together.
Yeah.
This is the chunk of time between SummerSlam and Survivor Series, you know?
Yeah.
So we are coming to that end. So, yeah, you kind of need to full in accumulation stuff here.
Yeah.
This is the payoff time. It's now time for that to start having mm-hmm. all the promise and the build-up that started at SummerSlam. Oh, what's happening? Oh, here it is.
Yeah.
That needs to now
like,
be worth
and
it.
Either it something comes to an end, or they at least ramp it up, or put in some sort of twist or something to lead into Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, I think it could be a positive if done correctly.
Okay. Okay. Real quick, you want to go through Raw before we need to. I mean, not a whole lot.
Yeah, I was going to say what happened.
It was a go-home show.
Yeah, it was a fine episode.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, we had a Daniel Bryan Dean Ambrose match.
I mean...
Great.
Yeah, I mean... what
thanks. Right well at, done. More of that, please.
And pretty much right to start off the show. Like...
Yeah.
I really can't complain with that.
No.
So.
I mean, except for the fact that it ends in a contract signing, which always makes you just go...
Yeah, but that was a big truck.
That was a big truck.
That went Hong Kong.
And there, oh, did it?
It did go Hong Kong.
Oh, man. That was actually a really cool shot to kind of end the show on. Is
with Dana Bryan standing on
top of the truck.
That's not an easy thing to stand on.
No.
I work with trucks quite a bit in my weekend job, and yeah, those things can be pretty difficult to be around.
Yeah. So, Yeah, but I did want to say real quick, yeah, for a go-home show, that was a good go-home show.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
I kind of defaultably brace myself for that.
Yeah,
it's the thing I have to put up with to get an actual pay-per-view.
And the contract signing could have been a lot worse.
It could have been a lot worse.
But instead, we got kind of, you know, some weird, well, not weird, but like more, awkward friendship moments between Triple H and Shawn.
Yeah, a little bit of tension there.
A little bit of tension.
A little bit of tension.
Might play into something that Joel talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Or Joel's kind of wishing for.
Which one?
The possible Shawn comes back to fight Triple H.
Yeah. Well, again, yeah, I said last time, that's the only reason for Shawn. Shawn can come back to fight Triple H or Undertaker.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no other reason for Shawn to come back.
Yes.
So... but God, Triple H cut an impressive promo.
He did.
Like, ugh. I like the fact that he can do mean corporate like that. Like, it really fit well with the character.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's kind of leaning into this, you know, I'm still the best kind of thing. The way that rumors talk about Triple H happen, the way he is backstage and stuff, and this incarnation, this character version of him, it's kind of really leaning into those rumors.
Yeah.
That he's still best in the ring, he just doesn't need to prove it. Oh! I like this Triple H.
It made me want to rewatch the documentary, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, good for that, Triple H.
Yes.
And yeah, we'll get to it more when we get in the car, but we'll see if anything comes out of this Hell in a Cell match.
Was there anything else from Raw you wanted to cover?
Not a whole lot.
It was a really good, like, Brie and AJ had a really good match, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
You can definitely see the improvements that Brie's made.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Nikki got back in the ring.
And Nikki did get back in the ring. I was very surprised by that and made me think, and I've said this on Twitter, I felt like, I was just completely surprised that Nikki was getting back in the ring, and it made me wonder if maybe she was injected with whatever it is that John Cena is taking to make sure that he gets healthy so quick.
You think she just feels bad?
Or just, yeah, it's like, oh yeah, like, John's coming back from injury way earlier on a more severe injury, so maybe I should just go out of the ring and just suck it up.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, the timeline from when that happened on the show and where she's now, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Brie had a fantastic match, especially for a free Raw match.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
It's got my fingers crossed for the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, on that note, you ready to jump
in the card? Maybe that's how I feel. That's one of the reasons why I feel so much better about this card.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, I can see that. Okay. Alright.
Alright, so, diving into the card, we had the kickoff show. It is Curtis Axel versus the newly faced Big E Langston.
Yes.
For the Intercontinental Championship.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of this could depend on where they want to go with the CM Punk, Paul Heyman storyline.
Yeah.
And so I'll get more into that when we get into that one. But based on that thought process, I'm going to go ahead and give this to Big E Langston.
Yeah. I think that'll be... it seems about right. And, you know, they're starting off something new with Big E, and usually that's around the time that they like to, you know, put a belt on a guy
or something
like that. I like Big E Langston a lot.
I do, too. He would make a good Intercontinental Champion.
I think so, yeah.
Like, this is totally, like, jump of the gun and putting eggs in one basket thing, but, like, I don't know why, and I don't have anything real to back it up, but, like, I could see Big E Langston, like, trying to bring some prestige back to Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
Like, he's still new enough, but established enough, and has already been entertaining in the ring enough,
mm-hmm.
that if they put that belt on him and kept it on him for a while, and let him defend it in real good matches.
Hoping he breaks Tommy Tonk's record.
I mean, I don't know if I'd be willing to put that eggs in this basket.
Yeah.
That might be more eggs than I have.
But, I mean, it could, and, I mean, I
know you want somebody, too.
I want somebody more, I don't know, serious, because Big E's he can be silly, too.
But mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a silly gimmick.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, that's better as far as, you know, the prestige of a championship. But I think it's, what, 15 months? I think it has to be to break it.
Is that it?
It's something around there. And, you know, in that time, some of us would be hoping that maybe Big E was further along.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we can always, go to those moments where we had guys going after multiple championships. We haven't had that in a while.
Yeah. But, I mean, honestly...
And, I mean, if you're going to do that, might as well be one of these big old monster types that WWE, so in love with.
Yeah.
It just so happens they have one with a personality for once.
And also, let's see where, Kofi was 15 months ago. Yeah. And it was, exactly where he is now. And yeah. Kind of this just ready to break through, but still not able to break through.
Right.
So, I can totally see people being eager for Big E to be a top-tier guy 15 yeah. months from now. I can totally see him being still a solid mid-carder. But if he has had the belt for that entirety of a time, it's a thing now.
Exactly. That's kind of what we were hoping with Cody at the time. Because yeah. we were wanting more for Cody, but we also knew it would be huge for him. And if at that point he wouldn't really be considered that much of a mid-carder.
Right.
If he's breaking a record.
At that point, he'll have defended it at a WrestleMania and headed pretty close towards WrestleMania 31. If he won it at Hell in a Cell this week,
yeah.
then by the time he was getting it to 15 months, it'd be very close to WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
It would be a big deal.
It would be.
And we're storyline booking for a year and a half from now.
I mean,
so
it's not that far out of our wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
But it'd be cool.
It would be.
And so for that reason, and that reason alone,
yes,
I am picking Big E in this.
I'm going to go with a solid 3.75 stars.
Maths. Next match.
I kick myself every time I do that.
I know you do.
Before we get into everything that's been announced, we go through some possible matches that's
yes.
been rumored, it's been thrown out there, but hasn't been added to the card officially yet, so might as well just get it covered, just in case.
Yes.
These things might have been announced by the time the podcast comes out. Los Matadores versus the Real Americans. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Zeb's been really going at them lately, and El Torito gored them. Yeah. A few times. But as far as... I do think it would be a great match, though.
Yeah, no, it'll be a...
Gimmicks aside.
Yeah, it'll be a good in-ring match. I think Matadores are going to win, because yeah. they still want to make them look good. We'll probably get...
Cesaro's going to do something crazy.
He's going to spin the bull.
I mean, if he spins the bull, that could happen... That could go on for days.
Yes, I know.
He would never have to stop.
I know. But that's my prediction.
All right. I think the match would be really good. I'll give it four yeah. maths. We also have Bray Wyatt versus The Miz. It's something that we pretty much thought would happen. Mm-hmm. Bray Wyatt, getting a minor injury, what was it, 2 weekends ago now. That kind of made me unsure how much longer it'll be before they actually have their match. If they do have the, at Hell in a Cell, you gotta assume Bray Wyatt's gonna win.
Yeah.
They picked up their promos a little bit more than that awkward stare down started off, but.
Honestly though, because this is, just rumored at this point and kind of we're seeing it, the seeds planted on TV, but no, like, throwdown has yeah. been announced, I would not mind this one getting pushed to next month.
I agree.
And, really build it up. Because I think that's, because you have such a character in Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
That's one of your biggest, strongest assets of the character is the build up, the feud kind of thing.
Yes.
So I would like to see a lot more of that, a lot more of him stalking The Miz, hating The Miz.
Yeah. Miz? Because it did feel like their feud kind of took a back burner closer we got to Hell in a Cell, just because we had so many other storylines that you kind of had to cram through in this mm-hmm. short time period between pay-per-views.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, if they do wait until Survivor Series, they can give it time and they can actually,
Miz also has a Christmas movie coming out this year.
Does have a Christmas movie coming
out. That, is something that you could promo and also mention that Bray Wyatt hates, because...
He looks like the kind of guy that would hate Christmas.
Mm-hmm. So.
And ABC Family.
Yes.
I mean, I hate ABC Family.
But that's me. That's okay, Chris. I know you hate happiness.
I do.
But I would do that unless they have something bigger planned for Bray Wyatt because it's Survivor Series.
Yeah, then by all means.
By all means, go ahead and show this. But other than that, yeah, I would push this match back and really build a feud around it.
Mm-hmm. Next we have possibly Fandango and Summer Rae going up against Great Khali and Natalya. I'm all for this if it means Summer Rae is in the ring.
Yeah.
That's something I'm ready to see.
Yeah.
I kept hearing about, you know, her days at NXT and so on and so forth, so I'm kind of ready to see it on the main stage.
We'll see.
But I mean, it's Great Khali. But it's so Great Khali. All that.
Yeah, no, like I mentioned to you when we talked about this, you remember when Fandango was in WrestleMania fighting Chris Jericho?
I sure do.
It's just like, whew. And now he's in a mixed tag match against Great Khali.
Yes, but he also was dancing around Miz at SummerSlam, so.
Yeah.
It's not like it's been a big fall for him since.
I mean, it's the past month hasn't been a big fall, but the past 7 months or so.
Yeah.
Been a big fall.
Yeah.
He won his debut match at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Like, somebody had big things for this guy.
And we haven't really seen much from him since.
And then Jerry...
Since the Jericho thing.
Yeah. And then Jerry had to stand in the ring and go, "Let's all Fandango, you guys."
The week after... Yeah, that was the week after it all started going down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, nope.
That is it. So, I feel like what you should do is have Jerry stand in the ring and say, "Hey, audience, let's all chant boring." It'll never happen again.
Fair enough. I see what you did there. Because no one wants to do what Jerry does, because everything that Jerry does is creepy.
Yes. Alright. To the official card.
Alright, to the official card, to the stuff that actually has been announced. The Divas Championship match, AJ versus Brie Bella.
If they, honestly, like, they could almost just do beat for beat the match they had on Raw this week.
Yeah.
And I would say, well done. And do a little golf clap.
And I would like to see a clean finish, but I know there won't be with Tamina lurking.
Yeah, with the fact that these...
And, you know, Brie's going to have Nikki as well, so...
Yeah. So, no, there will be interference in this
match. Yeah. Now, if they announce ahead of time that everyone's going to be banned from ringside, then by all means, this could be fantastic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like we said earlier, Bree's making really good improvements in the ring. AJ is AJ, so you know what you're going to get there. So, it's going to be a good match, I think.
Yeah, I think
As far as a winner, I don't know. I could go either way on this. I truly could. Like,
but you got to go one way. What are you gonna do?
I think Bree's gonna win.
Uh-huh.
Take the belt, and that'll start. You know, that'll keep this feud going and more establish the whole AJ and Tamina thing.
Okay.
Because they really have not touched on that much at all. All
right. Fair enough. I was gonna pick AJ as the winner just because she's still AJ and she's still like
right.
You know, for some reason that they can't figure out in the back, but they're scared to mess with the formula that's making it work, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
I'll give it a solid 4 maths.
4 maths for a Divas match. What a
Divas match.
Well done, Divas, in the past, like, 6 months.
Right?
Like, yeah.
I was fully expecting you to chastise me for that, but you seem completely on board.
If they, I would love for Divas matches to be on par, the Divas division to be on par with the men's division.
Yeah.
I think it's years in the making, you know, there's no way that we're going to get close to that. But steps are being made, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer an automatic bathroom break, which is a big deal, I think. So
it truly is. And,
I'm honestly very proud of
with the current lineup. With WWE's new formula on their pay-per-views, they create their own bathroom breaks. So there they you do. Go. So we move along to the triple threat tag team match for the tag team championship.
Yes.
We have Goldust and Cody Rhodes, or as I called them in my article, Co-Dust.
Co-Dust. All right, I like it.
Thank you. Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins and the Usos. I love this match on the card.
Yeah.
You got the lightning in a bottle that is Kodust and the Shield that we've seen a few times.
Yeah.
Add in the Usos, who also had their own lightning in a bottle against the Shield not too long ago. Put all that together, I feel like this could be really a really good match.
Yeah. No, this is going to be a match. This is going to be a mess in the ring, though.
It is. I thought you were going to say, this is going to be a match. I was like, it sure will. This is going to be a match. It's going to be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like with the participants that we have, they'll be able to pull it off.
No, I think there's great potential on this one. I got to give it to Kodust.
Yeah.
They got to stay champions. I'm so happy for them.
I like that you like my name.
I like that name.
Thank you. I'll go with Kodust as well. The triple threat, I mean, it serves its purpose because, you know, Shield doesn't have to be pinned. And, you know, they still want Shield to look pretty formidable.
Right.
So this is how they can get around that. And, you know, you can follow with their actual storyline with Usos getting their number one contendership long before Kodust ever showed up.
Yeah. Michael Cole pointed that out. He's like, look at that.
He did.
Michael Cole and Chris were on the same page.
Made me feel dirty inside. And then Lawler agreed with him.
Yeah.
That really made me feel bad.
Me and JBL.
God, made me feel like I was going to have a heart attack any second.
Aww.
That's heart attacks are contagious, right?
Yes? That's what I've heard.
Yeah, okay.
Of course.
You're a medical professional.
Yes.
Because you can buy a lab coat.
Did you know you just buy lab coats?
I know.
I bought a lab coat.
Moving along, might as well go with the Cena-sized elephant in the room. Got the World Heavyweight Championship match, Alberto Del Rio versus the returning John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yep. You talked at length on your article last week. You had an article last week,
I did have an article last week.
You talked a lot about the John Cena thing. So indulge us, please.
Okay. A lot of it is really kind of into, you know, I think a lot of initial reaction to John Cena come back is, oh, they're not getting John Cena numbers. Let's cram John Cena back in there.
Right.
I think that's true. You know, it's like...
Yeah, there's...
I'm not here to say, no, that's not true at all.
There's an ounce of truth in that. Yes. Absolutely.
You know, I am sure that they would not risk the golden goose of John Cena's, like, career-threatening injury if it was that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's too soon for him. I think there's a very good chance he's not 100% and is probably at risk. I don't think it's a super serious risk. Because as much as they want that instant grab thing,
mm-hmm.
I don't think they would risk not having John Cena be at WrestleMania 30.
No, not at all. I don't think they would risk... They wouldn't put John Cena through that risk just because of a ratings issue. Yes. Because, like we said before, their ratings was going to be crap regardless because Monday Night Football, they go through this every single year.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is nothing new. It's something that they just have to work with and have to do their best to, you know, not lose their ratings completely. So, I don't feel like that was that big of an issue. I felt like John Cena is actually ready.
Yeah.
He actually is ready way ahead of time. Or they gave us a weird timetable at the start of it, knowing that he would be back early because they wanted to play that up. All that's a possibility.
And also because he's John Cena.
And it's John Cena, and I'm sure he got rubbed on with some magical lotion that made him heal quick.
I do think it's very interesting that he's going for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yes, I feel like that was a good sign of solidarity and a sign of good faith. In Orton and Daniel Bryan, yes.
Yes.
But I feel like eventually it's going to feel silly that John Cena doesn't at least acknowledge it. The whole authority storyline.
Yes.
You know, because
he's the real face of the company.
Because let's be honest, it's starting to feel a little bit weird that CM Punk is not saying anything about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
And it's not...
He's got his single-minded vendetta, so, like, right. I can get better.
But after a while, you're like, okay, he's got to at least notice.
Yeah. You think he doesn't watch Raw?
Right, he doesn't. He only watches his own part of Raw, and then that's it. And he's just, you know, in his own bus with big headphones on.
You think, yeah, he's, like, confused. He's just walking around, hi, Triple H in the background. And he's being buddy, but he's like, Daniel Bryan, why are you mad at Triple H?
Right, like, I thought we were all friends. Yeah, I think it's the main storyline is a big enough one where everyone, it feels like everyone in the company should be affected by it.
And a lot is. The Coda storyline is affected by it. Big Show is affected by it.
Yeah.
You know,
it casts a very large net out there. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of people are going to fall underneath it. So, I feel like, yeah, it's a sign of good faith that they are doing this with the World Heavyweight Championship match.
Yes.
But I still feel like at some point, John Cena at least will be acknowledging it.
Well, worst case scenario here is John Cena is back just for this match. He loses this match, so Del Rio stays champion. Then Cena on Raw returns and focuses on the WWE Championship and gets squeezed right back into there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's a Daniel Bryan couldn't take it from you, so I will situation.
Right.
You know, that's the worst case scenario. And if that happens, that's bad.
It is very bad. Because he handed Daniel Bryan the microphone.
Yes.
That means something.
But there is a lot of, you know, other possibilities.
Yeah, the one that always comes to my mind is, you know, John Cena comes back to, you know, go to battle with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, a Cena, Daniel Bryan... Champion versus champion match?
Yeah.
That's a WrestleMania match. So.
That is a WrestleMania match.
Like, I'd trade out Cena for
basically, this is generation's Mega Powers.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
If it was to go that route.
You know, Cena, they could be trying to get some of that Cena magic rub onto the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah,
you know,
build that up.
Cena could appear on SmackDown, like, really try and get people to watch that. Like, honestly, and I can't quite explain it in rationale arguments, but, you know, because I enjoy John Cena, but I wouldn't tune in just for John Cena, except if he was on SmackDown, I'd be more likely to turn in. I
don't know if I would go that far.
No, honestly, because I think... If John Cena was appearing regularly on SmackDown, they would be more likely to have events worth watching happening on SmackDown.
At least more decent storylines.
Yeah, you know. I think what, regardless of my personal feelings towards Cena, I think the WWE's fascination and fixation on Cena would lead to more things happening on SmackDown that were storyline impactful, that were worth watching, etc., etc.
And Cena won't be closing out the match, or closing out the show.
That's another really interesting thing, is, like, I don't know where this match is gonna go on the card.
I would say third from last.
Third from last?
Because it would be this match, and then a filler.
But what's the filler?
I mean, it could be Divas, could be Bray Wyatt and Miz, could be, you know...
Yeah, I mean, it could be one of those possible
ones. Yeah, one of those, yeah. And, like, or just a match that they just haven't even, they're not announcing, so. Yeah.
Maybe Ziggler.
So, yeah, it's going to be towards the top, I absolutely think so, but, you know, I don't see the WWE Championship taking the backseat to anybody.
I know, but, I mean, no, I think as much as, you know, we've complained about Cena always closes out regardless of where the title is and who Cena's facing. And we've had that a lot before.
Yes.
But this is for a vacant World Heavyweight Championship.
It's been the big storyline ever since Cena left.
Yeah. In a Hell in a Cell with Shawn Michaels. I think that's got to be enough pieces to the puzzle to trump just John Cena.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think so. There's no real doubt in my mind that the WWE Championship won't be closing out. But that's the big thing is, like, whether Cena wins or loses, I still feel like that's one of the bigger stories. That to me, like, has more interesting ramifications throughout the company than who wins the championship at the end of the night.
Okay.
Because what are the? Because Cena's back. If they are honestly having faith in this Orton versus Daniel Bryan story,
mm-hmm.
what is their plan for Cena?
True.
That's a lot more of like, I don't know. I don't know what they want to do with Cena.
I mean, I see this kind of as Jericho and CM Punk at Payback. You know, similar situation. Since Punk was gone for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They said he was going to be at this pay-per-view. We never saw him in the build-up. And we didn't know what he was going to do afterwards.
Yeah.
And we really didn't know until the next night.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know what they have planned here.
Yeah, but knowing Cena, if Cena's back, Cena's back on Cena's schedule.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, I feel like that was the case is like, yeah, well, Punk might come back for one night because it's in Chicago. He doesn't actually have to travel anywhere and he'll get that Chicago love. So, but like, no, I feel like John Cena's a different story. John Cena's back. Oh, okay, John Cena's back now.
Yeah.
But the only time John Cena's not going for the title is if something's more important. Like, you know, Nexus is threatening the very foundation of the WWE or, you know, blah, blah, blah.
John Laurinaitis.
Yeah, something's threatening the very foundation of WWE. And right now, the thing that's threatening the very foundation of WWE is very focused on who their WWE championship is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I could very much see. And, you know, that's kind of a very possible splitting of the story. Cena focuses on, what do we call them now? The Authority?
That's what they kept
referring to them as. They're not Corporation 2.0 anymore. But, yeah.
I like Triple H's regime better, but whatever.
Whatever. Apparently, they're called the Authority.
Fair enough.
But,
so, but if Codust catches on, you heard it here first.
Yes. Codust. 2013.
I'm going to tweet that to Cody and Goldust and see if I can get that started.
All right. Power to you. But yeah, I could see Cena going for the Authority while Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton continue to bicker over the title over here. So, and also worth noting, we are leading into SummerSlam. And big
Survivor Series.
That's what we're gonna do. Survivor Series.
Yes.
Whatever. CM Punk has made that mistake.
Yes.
Everybody makes that mistake.
And as long as we're not calling Summerfest.
Summerfest. Oh, people. That being said,
so,
who do you think's gonna win?
I was just about to ask you that. I think it's gotta be Cena.
I think it's gotta be Cena.
I mean, the only other situation I see happening is they play up the whole thing of him actually showing up too early and Alberto doing his usual
focusing on the
weak link
mm-hmm.
thing, which for me the only time that's ever worked was Payback.
Yeah.
That was the only time
that's ever worked. Yeah, that was good though.
Other than that, it I can't stand cuz of course, put the guy with the surgically repaired arm against the guy with the
arm cross arm bar.
The cross arm bar, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's
you know. Yeah,
that's gonna happen.
You know what's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. You're gonna hear Cole go, "Oh no! Oh no! The surgically repaired arm! Oh no! Oh no!" You know what's gonna happen.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. I didn't even thought of that. You're totally right. All right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to break everyone's.
That's okay. Better to get it out now, so I'm emotionally prepared when that happens.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that's happening. Okay.
It is.
Okay.
But I still see Super Cena.
I gotta give it to Cena. There's more interesting stuff for Cena to win it.
And I'm gonna give it a 3 maths.
3 maths.
Because of all the people that Alberto Del Rio and John Cena have proven that they can have good matches against certain wrestlers. Against each other, not so much.
Not so much. Alright. Yeah.
I've never been impressed by
those. Didn't you give them your match of the year a few years back?
That was because the ring was destroyed.
That's right. 1 year, your match of the year was Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena. Just remember that.
I know.
Always and forever.
I'll stand by it. It was a fun match. I had a lot of fun watching
11?
It was.
Alright, yeah. Alright. Wait. It was 2011?
It was.
That was the year that...
It was.
What?
I know. You weren't this outraged when we announced that. I think
it just becomes more clear with time how wrong you were.
Probably. But I still thought it was a fun match.
Let's make sure that everybody is perfectly aware that the year that CM Punk and John Cena were having their Money in the Bank match, their Summer of Punk Money in the Bank match.
And also throw this on the fire, the TLC match between Punk, Miz, and Del Rio.
Oh, man.
Also a great match.
Mm-hmm. That was the year that Chris over here said, no, we gotta get Punk out of this and throw some Alberto Del Rio on this feud. That's what makes it good.
Blair knows what I'm talking about. Blair loves some Del Rio. I know he'll have my back on this.
We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see. All right. Next match.
Speak of the double, we got
Clifford Montgomery Punkerson and yes. Ryan Back.
And Paul Heyman.
Yes.
And Hell in a Cell match.
CM Punk.
Yeah.
CM Punk destroying him.
Yeah.
It
feels like it's that time.
Yeah. He needs to beat Ryback and then destroy Paul Heyman in that way that's kind of like boring and annoying and uncomfortable to watch for like 5 minutes.
Yes. But at least then we'll know that it's over.
Well, then Paul Heyman needs to come out, you know, like, you know, barely able to walk.
Making that noise, apparently.
Yes. On Monday. And say, but you haven't, you know, like, you've beaten me, but you haven't beaten, and then Brock Lesnar comes out. That's what needs to happen.
Well, that's what needs to happen. We just don't know if that's going to happen right now, or
Brock Lesnar makes an appearance and tears through the Hell in a Cell.
That too.
Like, that, you know, he doesn't need a whole lot to make him look like an unstoppable beast, but you put a little tiny weak spot in that cell for Brock Lesnar to tear through and break up this match.
But, that's gotta be Kane. That's Kane's thing.
I know.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I pretty much see this same scenario playing out. It's just, again, we just don't know.
After this match, it's ending until Brock Lesnar comes back. Those are the rules.
Those are the rules. Do not try to stretch this out any further without Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Going... It. Oh, yes, yes. 3.25 maths.
All right. 3 1/4 maths.
And a half.
3.75 maths.
3.25.
All right.
I'll go with that.
3 1/4 maths. Just slightly better than Del Rio and John Cena.
Yes. And I'm giving it that low of a score. Because Ryback, because we already said 3.5 maths just for Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Minus 25% for Ryback.
Okay.
Fair enough. There you go. It all evens out, and it's just a lot of it's just because I've had enough. I'm ready to see Punk do something.
I want to be excited.
That's why, even whenever he had just a random match against Big E, I was like, yay, hooray, yeah.
Yeah.
And then when they, you know, were starting to be buddies, I was like, yeah, I want them to be best friends.
Yeah. All right.
Moving on to the main attraction, we have the WWE Championship match inside the cell. Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton with Shawn Michaels as the special guest referee. What do you think is going to happen?
Big question is Shawn there to goose the ratings? Or is Shawn there for something?
Yes.
You know, money's on goose the ratings.
Yeah, rather than actually make some sort of impact or impression or whatever.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts as well.
You know, there's the tease, and, you know, it kind of makes you go, ooh.
Yeah.
But it's most likely just a tease. Being realistic. You know, trying to stay calm.
Yeah.
That's probably what it is.
And then there's always Big Show to think about.
Yeah. It's like, but that being said, they're gonna find some way around the cell. Something's gonna happen. This feud's not over. But
I'm ready for someone to actually hold the belt.
I think somebody will hold the belt after tonight. I do not think Vacant will continue to be the champion.
Dominant run.
Yes.
No one chance Goldberg at him.
No, they don't. You're just yelling at a belt. I think something will happen, but it will be either, you know, Orton will win through interference.
Yeah.
There's very possibility. There's very good possibility of a Screwjob recreation, because it's Triple H, you know, being an authority figure.
Shawn Michaels is there.
Yeah. It's
tempting.
Yeah, like you can see them like looking at all the pieces.
Right.
Or Daniel Bryan wins and Triple H goes, "You've changed."
I just find it hard to believe that they're going to go with the screwy finish for the second pay-per-view in a row, especially after the ending of last of Battleground. You know, it mm-hmm. didn't go over well with a lot of people.
No, I mean,
so I don't know. I think it's time for Daniel Bryan to just win the thing.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. I mean, the appeal of the authority is that they have the power to just up and strip you of the belt, right? Like that. They have, you know, more behind the scenes powers. So yeah, and if Daniel Bryan wins, then he needs to start having to defend the belt in gauntlet matches.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Right.
Where the odds, because that's what he is. He's perpetually an underdog, so the odds need to be continually stacked against him.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do think somebody will hold the title after Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
But I don't know who it will be. But if you say Daniel Bryan, I'll say Randy Orton just to be different.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Or other way around. Because honestly, you know, it's like, I can see very real possibilities of the story going several different ways.
Yeah.
So, as far, and it's part, one of those things where I'm just enjoying the story. I don't really care who wins.
Yeah.
I like everybody in this.
But I do feel like we've reached the point where it's like, okay, we've done enough with the vacant thing. Let's.
Yeah, yeah. If the title is stripped from somebody again and continues to be nobody's.
Unless we get to the point where we end up with another screwy finish, no one's the champ, Triple H is like, alright, fine, it's mine. And he just, it's like, I'm the champ.
Yeah. No.
Which, could very much see that that happening.
But see, that still follows somebody as champ. Yeah. Somebody needs to be champ now.
Yeah.
After that, I don't really care who it is. Somebody should be champ, though.
Yeah. I did come up with a scenario.
A scenario.
Mm-hmm. Let's call the whole thing off. I hate myself. there is a lot of rumors saying that Vince will be back on TV before Survivor Series. A lot of people are saying he will be on this Monday Night Raw. So, there's that. I have a feeling, because let's be honest, the only authority figure that could go toe-to-toe with Triple H and Stephanie at this point, it's Vince.
As an authority figure?
As an authority figure.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's the only one that can stack up against them.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're going to get to a scenario where each one has their own, like, person to be their
face.
Their face. And I'm also going to assume that Sean does get involved at some point. And so Sean would be like, well, Daniel Bryan should be the one. Mm-hmm. And Triple H saying, oh, Randy Orton should be the one. And Vince comes back, he rehires Big Show, and be like, Big Show should be the one.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like that would be a decent way to rehire Big Show, because it's going to happen eventually.
Obviously.
So,
I mean, the other option is you lead to a Big Show versus Triple H match.
That too.
And
which I feel like is not that far around the corner.
No. Well, here's also the thing. Triple H is obviously going to step in the ring again at some point.
Yeah.
Half the reason he's there is that he is that authority figure that can step in the ring like Vince did.
Yeah.
In the Attitude Era. Except Triple H can actually genuinely wrestle. Go in the ring. Mm-hmm. It's very likely that Triple H will wrestle at WrestleMania 30.
Yes.
So, you need to kind of have a reason for him. Especially if this storyline continues and this character of Triple H in the authority figure continues, you need to have good reasons for him to be in the ring.
Yes.
For stuff like that. So, you know, not to beat this very close to death horse, but Triple H versus Shawn Michaels is WrestleMania caliber match. WrestleMania 30 caliber match.
Triple yeah, I think if Shawn ever does return the ring, it would only be a WrestleMania. I think.
No, obviously, absolutely. Triple H versus Big Show.
I could Survivor Series.
Though. Yeah, no, but Survivor. Yeah, WrestleMania, no, but like Survivor
they
Series.
They really absolutely. Like using Big Show for the big pay per views.
Mm-hmm.
They always make sure he's on one of the main events in SummerSlam every year.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. So
no, I'm absolutely not against it, but I could go for some Triple H in the ring before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
When I'm assuming he will be in the ring.
Fair enough.
All right. That's so, my card. That's your card.
And I gotta give it. I'll give it 4.25 math.
All right.
Yes.
The most potential of any of these matches.
I mean.
No, absolutely.
With the storyline going on, might as well be.
Yeah. All right. Cool, cool, cool.
Yep.
All right. So I'll see you here this time next week.
Will we have a cookie cake then, too?
Of course.
From Melon. You know what a cookie cake means.
What?
That's right, it's time for the mail sack!
Alright. Sorry, taking a nap.
Alright, so first off, this comes from Rhett. Our good friend Rhett. Do you think that Cody Rhodes should paint his face to match Goldust, except with a mustache drawn on his face? I feel like that would be fantastic.
With the cop stash that he had for a while?
Absolutely. And okay. It is, and you know, with November starting, to have the whole Movember thing, so yeah. I'm going to be taking part in that, so
yeah.
Why not Cody?
Alright, acceptable, I guess.
How do you feel about it, Joel?
Face painting's coming back, like the Usos got face paint. Like, is face painting
okay, 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 well, let's just go ahead and put that. The Usos face paint's dumb. Okay, Goldust is fine, because it's Goldust, but Usos is dumb. Usos. I love the Usos, they're great. And I know their meaning behind it. Yeah, they wanted their dad's old tag team. They did the same.
Yeah,
face
I know.
Paint. I get it. But now they're doing the pink face paint because Susan G. Komen. Mm-hmm. But
no, but I'm whatever. Just saying, like Goldust has come back. The Usos are painting their faces. Ultimate Warriors in the video games again.
True.
Like, there's a whole kind of slew of face paint starting to happen again.
Yeah. Quick side note, yesterday I watched the documentary that they made for Ultimate Warrior. Uh-huh. WWE made it. I think it was 05, 06, I think, yeah. And it was a complete Barry job.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I never knew it was that bad.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Somebody put it up on YouTube and I ended up watching it. I was like, it was really interesting, but I was like, yeah, but I would kind of like to see the other side of the story, too.
There's a lot of things, like, as they have made peace with people that I would love to see.
Yeah, because only watching it, you could really tell how many people were still mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ric Flair like actually got up and walked off. You know, during the interview.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think that would be interesting to see now that you know, time heals old. Like even with Hogan, like they had Hogan on there, and you could tell even he was still bitter at Randy Savage.
Yeah.
You know, and we've now learned that you know before Randy passed it, you know him and Hogan did kind of patch things up.
Yeah.
But it just felt weird. I was like, oh yeah, that's right. They did hate each other at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it would be more interesting to hear now that everyone's got more of a calm head about that. At least most people have a calm head about it.
Well, that's the thing is like as WWE starts to actually make these really good documentaries that feel less like cash grabs, feel more like you know,
yeah,
somebody behind the scenes is putting effort into these things. There's a lot of stuff that I'd really like to see.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of these guys. Honestly, what I'd really like to see in about like 15 years is a WWE documentary of TNA, What Went Wrong. Like,
yeah.
if they
assuming, well, I mean, that would be if WWE would buy them out.
Well, because
then they would have the rights to all their, footage.
The footage. That, and that's the thing is like,
that's
even
the, that's
even if they have no genuine interest, if TNA, you know, there's lots of rumors circling of end of the line, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, it doesn't have to be WWE. It could be, you know, done privately of what exactly happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it's done by the right people and by the right person, like we saw with, Wrestling with Shadows.
Yeah.
With Bret Hart. Like, yeah, that was done independently, and it was really well done.
Well, that, I mean, the big thing is the right people have to agree to sit down and answer the right questions.
And you have to have the right footage and the right amount of access.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Because if you're using old interviews from people that don't want to, you know, really make a documentary, a.k.a. the
NWO. You get that NWO documentary.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's all about who you get, what insight they're willing to share, and kind of access you have.
Yeah. So, but that'd be...
That was weird that how we went there from a face paint question from Red.
Yes, it is.
But we went there.
That happens sometimes. That's
the beauty of Class Ring Attire, my friends. Next up, we have our good friend Jonah, the creator of the Mail Sack jingle.
Yay.
What are your thoughts on the Big E face turn? How do you think it can be successful? How do you think it can fail?
Well, apparently we think he should be champion for the next 15 months.
Intercontinental champion.
Yes, intercontinental champion.
So, I think, you know, a guy like him could easily do that. He's got the build. He, you know, he can do the whole feats of strength type, you know, guy.
I'd love to see a count to five.
I would like to see that a return of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that every single time he hits his finisher.
Yeah.
I think it can be successful. Because, again, like, he's got the build that WWE has been so enamored with for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And he's actually got a personality, which almost seemed impossible for a guy his size to have.
Yeah.
You know, you think about all the big guys. Which one of them were actually any good on the mic, you know, in interviews or anything like that? John Cena, pretty much is it.
Yeah.
Then now you have Big E, who
is a delight.
He's delightful on Twitter. It hasn't necessarily translated on camera just yet.
Well,
except for when he said that he's got the mic now.
Well, that's the thing, is like, he's, I think day one is like, he's going to be the next, like, intimidating anger man, and it just didn't come off that way.
No.
So once they start to, like, really embrace this, like, delightful, entertaining person that he is.
The one image that's forever stuck in my mind, and it's going to take a lot for it to ever be replaced, is from AJ's WrestleMania diary that they did on WWE.com, and they're walking out of a candy store, and he's got both arms full of just candy, with a full serious face just walking behind AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, no, he can be really great and really entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think it can fail?
They don't give him mic time. They don't give him time to develop. They forget about him and don't do anything with
him. Like, I mean, honestly, you get that same Alicia Fox syndrome where it's to the point where he comes out and you're like, oh, is he a face this week or a heel? Right. I don't know, you know? So, it could happen.
It absolutely could. Like, it's not impervious to failure by any stretch.
No.
I just think he has every quality I think that WWE wants in a guy.
Yes.
And it's really up to them on what they want to, or what they're willing to do with him. And it's on him actually executing.
Yeah.
Which I feel so far,
I think
he's done very well executing everything that's been put in front of him.
Yeah.
You know, I think the lines that they gave him for the whole Caitlyn thing was a little awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But those shirts were delightful.
But he wore a curtain.
I don't know if that was a curtain. That was a bedsheet.
It was delightful.
Like, yeah.
Like, no, he's entertained me greatly.
That's so. Like wallpaper you put on your wall and then drop acid.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I would know.
Just drop acid
just
and watch
Biggie. Just in case my parents are listening to this podcast.
Of course. All right. Good for you?
Good for me.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter. At CR Attire, where we will live tweet every Monday and appropriate Sundays.
Special announcement. We will actually be live tweeting Hell in a Cell this week because I got off for the day.
Yeah.
Even if it does, you know, completely kill my bank account, I needed a day off and I decided to take this day.
Doing it for you guys.
Doing it for you guys and totally not because I wanted to watch football that morning.
Of course.
So yeah, we will be live tweeting Hell in a Cell, so... By all means,
tune in there at CR Attire. It'll be great.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you wanted us to bring up on the show, leave us an email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com. Philip the Mail Sack, you can be featured on the segment each and every week. And we have Christmas cards.
Yeah, so sign up for those.
Sign up for those.
Remember, we are also on iTunes. You can look us up there. You can subscribe. You can get episodes automatically to you every single time we upload one. You give us a rating of
5 stars.
Well done.
Thank you.
A rating of 5 stars or write us a review. Help out the show. Make you feel good.
And if you're listening to this on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. I've got my full rundown of the card, as usual. Our good friend Jeff, he's got a new column out this week that's really good. That's Guys and Divas. Check all that out. A whole bunch of other great stuff. A lot of TNA coverage from their pay-per-view this past Sunday. So go all there to check all that out.
And don't forget, we are continuing to trudge our way through the WrestleManias. By the time you're listening to this, WrestleMania 6 should be available.
WrestleMania 6.
Chris loved it.
Oh, I really did.
Spoiler alert, was Chris's favorite. So remember, the only way to get those is by subscribing to us on iTunes. You do that, you help out the show.
Do it now.
You get great WrestleMania exclusive episodes of Classy Ring Attire.
Indeed.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.